is brought to you by Lighthouse Fellowship Antwerpen. For more information, please visit our website www.lighthouseantwerpen.be. We hope that this audio podcast will help you to enjoy life, to love God, and to make a difference.
Welcome again to this new series called Life, Money, Hope. Why this series? Well, to be honest, I had in the beginning of the year, I really had it on my heart to do a series like this before we go, of course, into a series that will lead us up to Christmas. And it's not that long anymore. But I wanted to have a series that deals with finances and heart attitudes. And you will see that this series is not just that this is what the Bible says and you need to do this or that. We want to dig a little bit deeper. Because how we deal with the thing that we have, our belonging, says a lot about our heart's attitude. You know that the New Testament talks more about giving than it talks about love. And this is not that giving is more than love. It is just if we love, then we give. John 3:16 says, "And so God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So if we love, we give. You cannot separate. You cannot say, "Hey, well, I'm full of love. I'm just not a giver." It doesn't really work well in God's economy. So if we love, then we give. Not just finances. We give. We give away our time, our life, our passions, our talents. So if we love, then we should be givers. And let me quote Nathan. He said in another series, if we expect God results in our life, then we need to start doing things God's way. And many people, we want to see God results in our life, but often we don't see them. Why? Because we still try to do it our way. So we need to leave our familiar own ways, and we need to walk in God's ways. And this always requires faith. It always requires that we step out into the unfamiliar and the unknown. And that's the challenge that we are all in. But I can assure you, if we do things God's way, there will be God results. And his results are even better than our results. So we want to dig a little bit deeper in this series. I want to get us started with one scripture from 1 Timothy. Those who want to get rich. Please understand that being rich is not a sin. That having money is not a bad thing. It's not evil. That the rich people are not necessarily a group of persons who is negatively addressed in the New Testament. God has no problem with you having financial resources. It's our heart's attitude. Those who want to get rich, if our focus is put on money, on getting rich, if this is our highest value in life, then we get into trouble. Fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. How many people made very poor decisions because they wanted to get rich and the outcome was far from good? You know, if our focus is, but I want to be financially independent, if this is all you long for, you need to be aware that this is not enough. It continues, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Please see what is here. It's not money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, the love for money is the root of all evil. Money in itself is not a problem. But if we love money more than we love God, then we get into trouble. So having money is not a bad thing. But how we deal with money says a lot about our heart. And this is what this series is all about. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We want to go into this today that if this is our focus, we will make poor decisions that look nice to us because they promise us some financial blessings. But in the long run, they seem to be very poor decisions because they destroy our life and our families, our relationships. And we want to have a closer look at this today. Life, money, and hope. Of course, we need to talk about Luke 12:34. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If my treasure, the most important value in my life is my bank account, then my heart will be there as well, and I'm trapped. So where is my heart? Is my heart with God? And I assure you, if my heart is with God, God has no problem with riches coming into my life because he knows that I can handle it. I have this theory and I'm absolutely convinced of it. You might disagree with me, that's fine. But very often, God cannot give us more finances, more authority, more things in life because our heart cannot handle it. And he knows that if he would give it to us, it would turn into a curse. Have you ever heard about a person who got rich overnight, like won the lottery, half a million, a million, 2 millions, I don't know. Look at their lives 2 years later. What do you see? Miserable people. Why? Because very often they cannot handle this blessing. They use it for all kinds of nonsense, and in the end, they are worse than they were before. So it's not a guarantee for happiness. And if we... Getting a lot of money overnight you have not worked for is one of the toughest tests for your character. This shows what's really in you. Because you can know that if I would money, I would buy orphanages. If I would have money, I would do... Well, let me see what you do if they have the money. Then we're talking. We all know the theory, but this is the ultimate test on our character. So let's go inside of this. I hope that the day will come that Lighthouse Fellow, and I know that we have these gifted people, that why it's not one of my dreaming visions. I'm a visionary, and sometimes some visions take a little longer. I know that. But this is like, it's in reach, that we set up some kind of lifeboat, some kind of workshop, some kind of weekend, whatever, where people who are gifted with finances give good advice to young couples, how to invest, which loan to take, where to put money, how to get out of debt, you know, just help them with practical steps. I believe the church needs that. And as Adas and I, we got married, and I mean, it was easy with us because we didn't have much, so it's a very, very easy calculation. But it's just good if you start your life together, hey, let's have some good, healthy advice that we can build something up, that we can leave something to our children. I mean, we are in here for the long run anyway. Also, as a church, we could need some financial advice from time to time. So I hope that the day will come. And in these workshops, even if you go to a non-church, non-Christian workshop about finances, I think they have good input. I think it's valuable what they can give to you. And five of these valuable inputs I just have here, I want to use them. We want to start with this because this already can be an eye-opener for the one or the other. So these five ingredients would be your earning, your income. That's very easy. If you don't have anything, there's nothing to manage. So it's good to make income. And all the young people, if you studied and you graduated and you are healthy and you are talented, go and find a job and do not live on mama's wallet. Go and find a job. That's a father speaking there. But that's a good attitude. Just because the social system in Belgium is so good that you could live on the system for 20, 25 years doesn't mean that you should. You're healthy, go and get a job and work for your own money. The Bible is very, very clear, and the Bible even says, if you don't work, you should not eat. Say, put this in a newsletter. Put this in the newspaper. People will eat you alive. So how can you do that? How can you say that? Well, it's not politically correct, I know, but it's what the Bible says. You are healthy. I'm not saying you're studying and you are sick or I'm not talking about this, all right? This is what welfare is there for. No problem with that. But if you're just lazy, go and get a job. Income. Next, the spending. I know this is not rocket science, but you would be surprised how many people could be helped if they would just have a clear idea of what comes in and what goes out. I did this with Hadassah recently, just the rent and the mobile phone contract and the electricity and the gas and this and this. So what are we spending on a monthly basis and what is coming in? Hello? You know that the average American is spending 136% of their income? That's why a lot of people are desperately indebted. It's so easy with a credit card. Jing, jing. You see something on television. I need that. Jing, jing. Oh, you don't have the money. You don't buy it. Income, spending. Very easy. Right? Savings. You have your income. You have your spending. And if something is left, don't just give it away. It's biblical and it's wise to save. You have no idea what comes later in life. You want to leave a legacy for your children. It's wise to save. There's nothing wrong with that. So if you have 10 bucks over in the end of the month, Maybe you don't go and buy a kebab, but you put it somewhere in a safe place and leave it there because you don't know what is coming. Investment. If nothing is wrong with making good investments. And for that, good advice is gold. It's gold. I shared this testimony in the first one. That's why I'm almost obligated to share it in the second one as well. As I was a young Christian, I started one of these saving plans for pension saving plan. It was 15 years. And the people involved were from a church. And I thought, well, if they're brothers and sisters, what can go wrong? Bad decision. So I paid into this fund for 15 years. Not much, but for me, I mean, I lived out of faith for a good season in my life. And then 50 euros was a lot of money for me at some point in my life. And in the end, it was 3 years ago that the promised result would come. And I found out that half of the people who are involved in this are imprisoned. And the other half took all the money and they live in Eastern Europe now where they cannot get caught. So nothing what I put into there is left. Nothing. And first I was heartbroken, then I was very angry, then God told me forgive them, and then I was full of joy. Why? Because I thought, goodness, if all my hope and my future security would depend on something like this, gosh, I pity the people who put their hope and trust in these kind of funds. I know that I have something better. You know, good advice could have helped me, but even there, I forgave them, and that's fine, that's okay. God provides, and he did. Our God is a faithful God. If we step out in faith, he is good. Doesn't mean that we should make irresponsible choices. We have our responsibility. And last point, giving. Even in the world, they have a sense of that charity is a good thing. You know, I worked with Teen Challenge for a good part of my, that was one of the financial challenges. I worked there for a very nice, ridiculous salary of minus 150 euros a month, and the rest are left out of faith. However, we had this bakery, and they had like three or four shops. Business people from the area in Germany, good people, had a good financial backup, and hardworking people. So I have no problem with people having money. They worked hard for it. They have a heart of gold. Wonderful people. And they said, hey, you work with drug addicts, and we have every Friday, we have so much left over. Would you mind that we just bring it to you? Can you do something with it? And we were like overjoyed. It was like an answer to prayers. But for them, they said, finally, giving this stuff to you, knowing that this means something to you, that we serve also a higher purpose, gives us such a fulfillment. We are so blessed that we can do this. These were people who were not going to church. No, there's something that even the world understands that this is good to give. You know, something that means something to others. It's a good thing. You know? This said, the whole the series today starts with the title "Beyond the Numbers." These are like the numbers. Every person who is in his right mind can tell you that this is healthy, and this alone can help people to set up a good plan. There's nothing is wrong with this, but you wouldn't come to church if this would be it. You know, today we go a step further, right? The word says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You see, that's in the end, it's repeated. Every time if something is repeated, it comes twice, especially the Old Testament. It means it's very important. So give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. And some of you might think that's my verse. That's me. I have the feeling that I work and work and work, but there's nothing left. I do and I do and I do, but it's like I have holes in my purse. It comes in and it goes out, and I just cannot get a hold of it. Something is wrong. Give careful thoughts to your ways. We need to do things God's way, and God's way, as I said in the beginning, requires faith. And sometimes it seems a little bit foolish to other people, a little bit. But if we want to have God results in our life, we need to start doing things God's way. That's the challenge today. Where's the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where are the philosophers of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? If you're not having much and you give something away, this is, in the eyes of the world, not a wise thing to do. For God, this is precious. It's that kind of wisdom that we talk about today. Without taking away the effectiveness of the principles that we just saw, but we want to go a little bit beyond that. I have for every of these five steps that I just showed you something, a spiritual wisdom that will supersede the natural wisdom. We look beyond the numbers. And I want to say it again, these 5 points are valid and healthy and good points, and many people also in the church could be better off just applying them. We are not nullifying them. We are not saying this is foolishness, don't do it. I say yes, save, have income, have a good idea about your spendings. All this is right and true and good. But we just want to go a little bit further. So number one, take home number one, income. Create income, but calling is higher than compensation. What I'm meaning with that, I mean if you have a job offer 150 kilometers or 100 miles away for $300 or 300 euros more a month for the same function in a company, this seems like a good deal. Yes, increase your income, then the whole calculation seems to be better off. But what is the price? Moving away from your church, getting your children away from their friends, isolating your family for what? For $300 a month more? That's a bad choice. What are the costs? What is your calling? As I said, as I started with Teen Challenge, and I worked there in a kindergarten from Teen Challenge, and they were looking for somebody, and I asked, okay, what's the salary? And they said, -150. I said, excuse me? I worked in Munich before. I was working in a normal kindergarten teacher. I had a good salary. I had a nice car, a nice apartment. I went there. I said, why -150? They said, yeah, the social insurance is 300, but we cover half of it. That means I need to cover 150 from my own social insurance. And for the rest, I mean, it's not even the rest. You know, you just live out of faith and you believe that God provides. Working 50 hours a week for -150 euros a month is not really a good deal in the eyes of the world. Anybody hearing me today? But I knew God wanted me to do that. I knew that is my calling. I said, Lord, if this is you, I step in. I always had enough in this time. I always had people from all over the world who just said, hey, I was praying and I had the feeling that, and by the way, here. And this just never stopped. Why? Because I was in the middle of my calling, and this feeling is much, much better than a good salary can ever give you. Calling always supersedes compensation. And we need to know that, people. In a time where everybody's promising you everything, do you live in where God wants you to be? Do you know your calling? Have you stepped into it? Are you living the dream? In that time, people pitied me as I talked about what I'm doing. I said, don't do that. I'm a happy man. I live the dream. I know that I'm doing the right thing. Calling always supersedes compensation. We don't just need money to live on. We need something to live for. You know what you're living for? I hope so. Are you at the place where God wants you to be? Answered the calling for your life? God made you for a purpose. Have you found it? That's the whole idea why we do Next Steps. Our whole Next Steps program that we start again next week is designed because of that reason. We want to help you find your purpose, your calling, your gifted, and help you start living it. Live the dream. If this means a lot of money, hallelujah. If it doesn't mean a lot of money, hallelujah. It's the dream that counts, the calling that counts. Paul says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Wow. We see a person whose focus is not his bank account, not his savings, not his how to increase my income, how to increase my career. We said, hey, you know, this doesn't mean much to me. I want to finish the race. I want to complete the task the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus has given me. That's my calling. That's my purpose. And if the rest comes with it, no problem. But even if not, that's my focus. That's challenging. That's challenging. But God's ways work. Take home number two, your spending. Now, we live in a time where everybody tells you the more you have, the happier you will be. It's a lie. It is a lie. Contentment beats consumerism. And here's the funny thing with it. If you cannot be content and thankful for what you have today, you probably never will be. not with this new job, not with this new house, not with the second car, not with the swimming pool, not with the new cell phone, not with the new laptop, not when you're married, not when you have a partner, not when you have a child, not you have now. If you cannot be thankful today for what you have, you probably will not be thankful for anything in the future. You're always running like this little rat in the wheel, and you never arrive. You're just always hoping, always waiting, always. You will never find this moment where you can say, thank you, God, for what I have. Beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. I love this translation. For real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. Everybody of you can apply this today. I want to encourage you today, if you go home, close the door, look around, and don't think about the things you don't have. Realize what you have and start to be thankful. Father, thank you for this house, for this apartment. Thank you for this cup of coffee in front of me. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this desk. Thank you for this cupboard. Thank you, God, for the social system in Belgium. Thank you, God. Find your blessings. Count your blessings. Be thankful. And you will see contentment beats consumerism. That's the thing. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. Paul says, I found a secret, and it is being content in all circumstances. If you have enough and if you have lack, but there's a secret in being content that goes beyond that. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Contentment is not the fulfillment of what you want, but the realization of what you already have. I like that one. Are you still in the rat wheel? Are you still running for what? For the next race, the next job, the next house, the next thing that's coming? Or can you just step out and say, Father, I thank you for what I have today. I count my blessings today. I might not have much, but I thank you for everything that I have. That's powerful, people. That's powerful. I had a meeting the other day, last week, with a friend of mine. He's a church planter. They started 2 years ago in Leuven. And now his wife got diagnosed with two cancers. And they do the chemo, and they are in a pretty difficult situation. I talked to him, buddy, how are you doing? How are you keeping up? And he says, Christoph, if you're watching, we love you guys. And he said, Frank, if you're in it, it's different. I feel energized. I feel hopeful. God is providing so much strength. But you know what's really hard? If we go to the hospital regularly and I see all these people with terminal cancer, people are fighting for 12 years. They know they will die if not a miracle happens. They are desperate. They are hopeless. That's a real tough thing. Looking at my situation, I can be thankful. And I thought, wow, that's great. Nobody wants to be in that place, but even in that place, you find reasons to be thankful for. That's powerful. How many people run around with empty eyes, never getting what they want? You know why the poor people, it's easier for poor people to give more? There are statistics about it, that people who do not have much, they are more generous. You know why that is? Because they know that their security is not based on what they have anyway. This little that they have will not provide for the rest of their life anyway, so they need to trust in God anyway. So why then not give away from this little bit that I have to somebody else, because I need to trust God anyway? I know about you, but that speaks to me. I had the privilege to translate on Friday Isaac Liu. He's the son of Brother Yun, a Chinese pastor. He spent more than 40 years of his life in prison. He got tortured. They tried to starve him to death because he's the leader of a house church with 25 million members. And his son, he wanted to kill him before he was born. He says they forced his mother to have an abortus, to abort the baby before it was born, because that's the baby of a preacher. And they set an appointment in a hospital 2 days later. The next day he was born. He was so little, he was only 2 pounds. People said in his hometown, you were so little, we could put you in a shoe. And all the people said he will not make it, but his mother prayed over him, said this baby will become a preacher. He will bring the gospel to the whole world. And he was preaching Friday, and I had the privilege to translate him. And he said, Frank, you know what? If I go to Europe, I feel that the Europeans have a God. It's insurances and their bank account. This is what they put their hope and their trust. But they need to find the real God, the real insurance, the real security, which is only in Jesus. Take home number three, saving. It is biblical to save. It is wise to save. Please do save. Be prepared for what comes tomorrow. Absolutely. But the danger with savings is that we are tempted to put our trust in the savings and not in God. So we need to stay God-dependent instead of independent. Many of you heard the term being financially independent as something, well, if you are at that point, then you don't have to work anymore. Your money works for you. You're financially independent. That's the huge goal. Well, if you are in this place, congratulations. No problem with that. Is it biblical? It's not unbiblical. But where is your security? Where does your security come from? The more you have, the more difficult it is to stay God-dependent and not just find your rest in what you think that you have. That's challenging. So yes, save. And if you can make good money, make it. No problem with that. Money is not the problem. Your heart is the problem. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. They imagine that their riches will protect them from everything possible scenario in the future. It's an imagination. It's not the truth. It's not real. Your money will not save you. We need to skip that because we are also short in time, but everybody knows the story that Jesus tells about a guy who has a good harvest, and then he says, now I have plenty, and now I'm secure, and what he's saying to him, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Your bank account can never be your security. God needs to be your security. We need to focus our heart on God. Then having a good bank account is a nice thing to have. And I advise you again to save and to do everything in your power to get there. But let your security come from God. I will not trust in riches, but in the one who richly provides. I like that one. I will not trust in riches, but in the one who richly provides. Take home number four, stewardship versus ownership. Number four was investments, making good investments. And that's a good thing. And I wish we would have more Christian businessmen who know how to do business to generate money for the kingdom. I love these entrepreneurs with all these out-of-the-box ideas. There's this one, he's not even a Christian, that's why it's almost a shame. I mean, I hate it that he's not a Christian, let me put it that way. That he set up this shoe business, and for every shoe that they sell in Europe, they have one pair for free to give away for people in Africa. Brilliant! I love this. I just hope we would have more of these people in the church. Hey, let's set up a business. We generate some money to pour into the kingdom. Money is just like stones. You can build with it. It's just material. But let's use it for the good things. Let's create money for the right reasons, for the good purposes. Let's do good with it. Let's change the world with it. I think if we have this heart, God loves to give us money. I'm not saying that you will always get it. No prosperity gospel here, all right? But it's our heart that matters. And God will test you in that. As I was starting with the Teen Challenge with the -150, after a few months, the telephone rang. And the people from Munich were on the line. Said, Frank, how are you doing? No, we have a problem here. We look for a kindergarten teacher. And because we liked working with you, would you not consider coming back? You raise your salary. I was tempting because I had nothing back then. I was not sure if this whole living out of faith thing would work for me. It was a temptation. It was like, no, thank you. Frank! But it was the right decision. I know, I'm just saying it will be tested. We know the theory, but believe me, if you make this decision in real life, it's a different thing. We need to step out in faith. God owns everything. I am his manager. You know, sometimes Christians think, okay, I agree with this whole tithing thing, so I give 10% away from what I have, but with the rest 90%, God, take away your fingers, that's mine. And you know, the real fun starts with the realization of, Lord, everything is yours. My house, my car, my life, my time, my talents, my fine, everything is yours. How can I be a blessing to others? How can I use what I have to be a blessing? This is when the fun really starts. And it's good to give away your tithings. It's a good start. But we need to understand that everything belongs to God. We are just his managers. We are just his stewards. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And let me stop and end this with the last point, giving. It's an important one. Generosity versus misery. Why misery? Because people who have not learned to give or just decided not to give, they don't have that much joy than the people who have. And generosity starts with what you have today. If you're not willing to start to give because your Father in heaven is a giver, for so God loved the world that he gave, that I want to be a giver, you might miss out on this joy. Many times I talk to people and say, Pastor Frank, you know, I'm a little bit indebted right now, and it's not so going good, not going very well, but once I'm out of debt and I have a good salary and a good job, then I will start giving to the church. And I don't say it, I say other things, but I think this can take a very long time, my friend. Why? Because if we do it God's way, we start right now where we are. And I saw this in my life as I shared it also in the first service. I can get along a whole week buying food for myself with €7.50. And there were times in my life that I had to do it, and it was a joyful time because I lived the dream. But even then, from the little that you have, I wanted to be a giver. Father, I want to give. I want to just be a giver wherever I see opportunity. I always gave my tithings, even in these times. I don't care. I even gave my tithings that I started with a little bit of death. The moment that I grasped this truth, I started to give. I want to be a giver. I don't care. I'm not waiting for anything. If you have 20 bucks, give away 2. If you have 200, give away 20. This is a no-brainer. And not just because you have to, not because you want to get something. I say, Lord, I trust in you. Thank you for the honor, the privilege that you allow me to invest into your kingdom. It's my joy and my pleasure to give. I assure you, God loves a joyful giver. And he knows how to bless his people. He knows how to bless his people. The stuff that you cannot buy with money. He loves you. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me stop with this quote. I love this. And please get it right. It's not that people who are not at the point already have no value or anything. It's not like this, but I want to challenge you with this last quote. The value of my life isn't determined by what I achieve or accumulate, but by how much of my life I give away. This is what I want to see if I look back on my life. Have I used my resources, everything that I had, little or much, to be a blessing for others in a healthy way? How much can I give away? How can I have a car and you don't have one, but you need sometimes one. How can I help you with what I have? I have enough food, but you're starving. Come and let's eat together. It's the little things. How much can I give away? That's the heart's attitude that God longs for. And this doesn't take away all the other good, healthy advice part that we talked about. People, I want to encourage you, try it. God's way works. And if we start out because we love him and we just want to please him and we say, God, I trust in you, whatever comes my way, in good days, bad days, in riches and in lack, you're my security, you're my provider, we will see miracles. We will have a good life because our Father is a good God. Amen.